This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Earthwise, Environment and Peace with Justice interviews on Plains FM 96.9.
Welcome to Earthwise. I'm Martin Griffiths. For today's program, Lois and I are delighted to be speaking with Claire Bleakley, President of GE Free New Zealand.
Well, Claire, it feels like it's been a long while since we've spoken with you, yet the issues GE Free New Zealand investigates haven't gone away, have they? And they're so important. So welcome to Earthwise, Claire Bleakley.
Thank you so much, Lois and Martin. I am very grateful to be invited back, and hopefully I can address some of the questions that you would like to hear.
Well, Claire, last year you toured the North Island with an American scientist, Dr. Jonathan Latham. I've just been reading about him. He sounds fascinating. A prominent international advocate for public interest science. What was his message for New Zealand?
Dr. Jonathan Latham, his history was he was actually a genetically engineering scientist. He worked in laboratories and he trained as a genetic engineer. However, during his work in the field, he found that the concerning abnormalities or problems that arose from the technology were not being addressed. And he found that really it was just a rush to try and get anything that was created in the laboratory to market, overlooking and undermining any safety regulation to try and recoup the cost. He became very disenfranchised with this and started to look at the more regenerative agriculture. And so his knowledge is based within the science. So he was able to speak very eloquently on this and going, and he was also able to say that the public health science is being ignored for the commercial areas. And, of course, in public health science, what we are trying to do is look at, is this going to have long-term adverse effects? Is it safe? And all of these things that the companies were trying to avoid addressing.
In fact, these are so, it seems to me, that they're the most vital things to consider is the issue of public health. I guess he's really pointing out there's a difference between what scientists say if they're being pressured by the people they work for versus true public interest scientists.
I think also what he came to the conclusion was that a lot of the science that was being created through the genetic engineering process or the gene editing process was causing incredible abnormalities downstream. And so he started to concentrate on regenerative organic solutions that nature already does, and he believes that this is where we should be improving all our research and development, not in laboratory techniques with scientists who actually know nothing about farming at all, or even public health.
Did you get good audiences?
We got fantastic audiences. They varied around the country. Even if we only had 20 people, we ranged from 20 to 75 people. And what we found was they were very, very engaged and very, very interested. And the more they heard, the more concerned they came over this type of research.
I imagine it sounds as if Jonathan Latham had a not a conversion experience suddenly, but a gradual change of attitude to his research. Did he give us examples of the sort of things that have gone wrong with the techniques that they were using?
Well, he was working on a very specific type of genetic gene editing where you insert an enzyme between the strands of the DNA, which is the kind of library for our cells to tell us how we live. It is the functional library. And this enzyme goes straight down the 30,000 base pairs, and then what it does is it cuts out specific things that has been programmed to cut out. For example, if we take it as an editorial, because this is what it's called, gene editing, if you have a word that you want to remove, saying red, if you have a look, there are around about 200 words that contain red in some way, like predecessor, credibility, uncluttered, multicolored, predisposition.
You mean the letters R-E-D within yes. those words?
Yes.
Yes.
And so what then happens is this little enzyme goes away and it cuts out specific sections that contain this word, which then alters the whole way the genome is read, that our genes read their functional proteins. And so what they have found is that you can gene edit, so you can create a red apple, for the sake of argument. When you culture that cell, there are up to 200 different mutations due to the way that this little enzyme has cut out certain words or certain parts of words that our body needs to read as a way of functioning. And so these mutations then can cause adverse toxins. They can cause the little cells to die early. They can create a whole lot of unanticipated problems and mutations that are not necessarily wanted.
Let me see if I've got this clear in my mind. I know years ago we've been talking about genetic modification, and that was taking a gene from one organism and put it into an entirely different one and thinking there would be no funny adverse effects. And now they're saying gene editing is a new version, are they? And it's much safer, or they're trying to tell us. It is something different. It's looking at the one organism that you're changing, not moving it to something else.
It's all within one organism. It's not being transferred to a different species or anything, as it used to be with the old-fashioned, call it.
And they're saying this is a new generation of science? Is that what's going on?
Okay, we first had transgenic genetic engineering, where you took out a gene from a foreign organism and you fired it into the nucleus, the DNA, of another organism, which we called a host organism. And that created things like herbicide-resistant plants, and also it also inserted genes for insecticides like the Bacillus thuringiensis or Bt toxin. Now, what happened was it was an abject failure, and it was supposed to reduce the level of pesticides in the environment. In fact, those pesticides used on those crops have gone up by millions of pounds or thousands of kilograms. So today we are using many, many more amounts of pesticides to grow these plants. And these pesticides are now in our foods to an extent that they are causing adverse health effects, quite severe ones. And you would have heard just recently about the use of glyphosate and the two cases where the courts in America have ruled that the use of Roundup in their daily at work gave them non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. What we had was a first lot was transgenic plants, which you took a gene from one plant or a bacterium like the Roundup enzyme, and then you introduced it into a plant that you wanted to become resistant to that chemical. Now, what happened was they, in 2012, found a kind of editing gene that they create in a laboratory. It's called CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-A. And what they do, it's an RNA molecule that has a cutting enzyme on it. And it, as I say, it goes through and it cuts out these specific words that it is programmed to cut out. And what the problem is there are two things. You can just cut it out and the cell will rebuild itself together. So if you had a word like, say, what is it? I've made a sentence. The credibility and predisposition to generalization is generational. So if we take out the red and the gene from that, you get a sentence that says the stability and the pis position for realization is rational. It makes no sense except for the very last word. And that's because this gene is spliced, mends itself by sort of pulling itself together. So what they are doing is they're sort of doing a bit of a hybrid. They are now making certain synthetic genes that they are inserting into where they are taking out that word so that we are changing, say, a gene from blue to red, and they're inserting that. So it's a mixture of editing and genetic engineering. In New Zealand, our laws are actually working really well, and they have said that all forms of in vitro laboratory work is considered as genetic engineering. And so this is just another new form, as you say, Mark II, of genetic engineering. In New Zealand, all work done in this field, which is only in a laboratory at the moment, has to go through the Environmental Protection Agency's regulatory process. However, in America, gene editing is now unregulated, which really? Means anybody can do it.
Oh.
That sounds,
I don't like the sound of that.
It sounds like the Wild West, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but more and more and more and more, the illnesses in America are being attributed directly to the foods they are eating and the chronicity of this. And as we can see, most of the genetic engineering is not done necessarily for the health of the population. It is actually done for commercial gain. So on the market today, we really only have plants that are resistant to spraying of proprietary herbicides or plants that contain toxins that will kill the insects. And unfortunately, there is no health effect for anybody eating these plants, no health benefit whatsoever. So when we get this kind of patronizing discussion saying we're doing this as public health science, it's absolutely rubbish.
You're listening to Earthwise, broadcasting in Christchurch on Plains FM 96.9, in Hamilton on Free FM, and in Waikanae on Coast Access FM. Today's guest is Claire Bleakley, president of GE Free New Zealand.
Claire, I'd like to know a little bit more how New Zealand is involved in this sort of international experiment. It is an experiment, isn't it? There's something to do with wanting to use gene editing on animals for mosquitoes and something about using New Zealand offshore islands. Can you inform me about that?
At this stage, I am very proud to say that this government has chosen to absolutely prohibit any work in this area. But before they came to government, there were discussions with an agency called DARPA, which is the Defence Advanced Research Projects Agency, a U.S.
Military, really. Sorry?
Sorry
to interrupt. Whenever I hear the word defence in American, I know they mean offence, really.
That's right.
They mean something with military application, don't they?
It was looking at the military. Well, it is very, very, very shady what they were looking at. But it did look like they were happy to fund experimentation on sterilizing pest species on the outer islands and seeing how effective that would be. However, this leads into something quite concerning, because Landcare Research was the New Zealand agency who was integrally involved in these meetings. Not necessarily they were asked to attend these meetings, and they did actually put out some very positive information on why we should adopt this. However, the sterility of these animals, nobody knows, one, how long they will be sterile, two, whether the sterility will be transferable to other species, and three, whether if you make something sterile, will it become actually more dangerous if it is released into the environment, and what is its effects on living longer or whatever. This comes back to something that happened just over the Christmas period. A gentleman, a Chinese scientist, he actually wasn't a scientist. He was actually an entrepreneur, very rich, who could fund his own research. And his name was He Huan Kui. I think I've said that right. And he decided he would like to genetically engineer human embryos. He faked the ethical review. The gene editing methods have been potentially very dangerous. They are unproven, and they are unsafe. And even the scientists who have looked at his research says that the CRISPR-Cas9 stuff that he editing techniques he used isn't safe or precise enough to use on human embryos. And so what he did is he created three embryos. We do not know how many he really created, but three were viable, which he did implant into surrogate mothers. And they were supposedly able to have the inability to contract HIV or, HIV. What they did find, though, is the cutting out of this specific gene for HIV has an impact on cognitive function. And there could be incredible unanticipated side effects, especially around if your genius levels are boosted, your intelligent tendencies for socialization can be very autistic. So the other thing is, by having this gene, you suppress memories, which means that if you have a traumatic effect, you can actually overcome it. If you have this gene removed and you have a traumatic event, it will be like Groundhog Day. You will be living it day after day after day. Nobody knows the effects of this.
Well, Claire, I'm glad you brought this up because it sounds like a terrible ethical issue that really needs more discussion. It's just beyond. It looks like we're heading into a brave new world of perfect babies.
You mentioned certain islands where this experimentation is going on. Are these American islands near America, or are they? How is New Zealand involved with that?
The outlying islands in the Hauraki Gulf and up there were spotted. I think the small barrier, Little Barrier Island also. What they were hoping to do on the gene-edited pests was release them and then observe them and see what would happen.
On New Zealand islands then?
Not on New Zealand islands, but the interesting thing is these islands are also, and this is the irony, we have spent millions of dollars cleaning pest species off our islands.
Yes.
So that our native bird life can survive.
Yes.
And they were saying, we want to put an experiment onto this island that we've just cleaned of pests. We want to put them back, and we don't know what they will do.
They haven't done this yet, have they?
No. This government has prohibited all work in this area.
In fact, that was Eugenie Sage, wasn't it?
Yes,
Eugenie. Good honor. But the Chinese story is something that's happened in China. Has it gone around the world, that story?
The story has gone around the world. In fact, I think he's lost his job. It's very difficult to get information out of China. But he has lost his job. I think he may even serve a prison sentence. The problem that we have is we have these two babies who have this supposed gene that has altered their cognition and made them more intelligent. It actually, I think this is where the DARPA thing comes in, as well as any defense research. This genetic engineering is a form of eugenics. It's creating embryos to serve the purpose of a few ideologues. It's destroying those that do not have the right genetics wanted. Are we moving into an asexual paradigm where people will be selected by test tube babies? Will they be selected as parents? And will their babies be designer babies? We also know that the HIV virus is contracted through dirty blood, infected needles, and sexual intercourse, which means that these children, we don't know whether if they happen to have this type of behavior when they grow up, they may still not be immune to it. But they may have severe social problems and be on that autistic spectrum, even though they may be highly intelligent. So what we are doing is we are fiddling with what nature is naturally, nature is protecting. We are fiddling to an extent where the dangers could, for the sake of argument, these people could have no social conscience at all, which means you could send them into the battlefield and they would be like robots. They would just kill just because they were told.
It sounds like we need a big red light in front of all of this
stuff. It is really frightening. And when you see that the defense agencies, like DARPA, are involved, you really wonder whether they're looking at some kind of genetic stuff where they can drop from an aeroplane and it may infect a whole lot of people. and give them HIV or make them sterile or whatever. I mean, we're looking at eugenics in a new type of a way through genetic engineering. And we have to, whatever, make sure that this world stays in a world which is natural, regenerative, and able for the next generation, regardless of how intelligent or not they are, can live safely and effectively.
Oh, gosh, Claire, you give it us something to worry about and something to think about and something to share and to demand more discussion. It's quite a privilege to talk to you today, Claire. And thank you so much,
Lois. And if anybody who's listening would like more information, we do have a website, which is www.gefree.org.nz. And a lot of the information that we talk about is on that website. All the information that we put on is actually from scientific sources. Most of it, in fact, all of it is published and peer-reviewed, so that we are working as researchers in this minefield of differing views, and we are actually being attacked quite a lot for having these differing views to what the commercial imperatives of genetic engineering companies are.
Yes, can you give us that website once more, please?
It's www.gefree.org.nz.
Yes, thank you.
Well, Claire, I'm afraid our time is up. You've certainly given me quite a lot to think about.
Thank you, Lois.
Thank you.
Martin.
And we must keep in touch. There's more to this story, isn't there? And it's not going to go away.
This story will never go away. I guess the unknown adverse effects of the sterility, but also the species jumping, what happens if it went into the animals and the human population. It's almost like we're moving very, very fast into possibly a sterile generation where only certain people will be able to have babies.
Oh, dear.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, we'll keep in touch.
It's really been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you.